While the door's closing and the kids are getting in there, you can turn with me in your Bibles or open that Bible app to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to read from verse 1 to 6, and then we're going to jump through to verse 16 and read to the end. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1-26. I'd like to ask you to do something, if you're willing to do this. We would like to get you guys to come up here once a week and come and read the scripture reading for us so that you guys actually participate in the service, but more than just singing and praying. And if you're keen with public speaking, I know Dave, you can just, I'm just going to put your name on the list, eh? If you're keen with public speaking, we'll give you the scripture reading well in advance during the week so you can go and read through it and prepare yourselves. But it'll be great to have you guys come and read scripture for us before we preach every week, just to kind of get you guys involved. Be lekker, I think. So if you're keen, just send us an email. Do know that our email addresses have changed. You'll get this auto response. It's dncc.org.za at the end, not DN Baptist anymore. Reading from Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 through 6, and then 16 through 26. Verse 1, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value at all. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love." Verse 16, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions and factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other." I always recommend you to keep those Bibles open and Bible apps open, because I will refer back to the text quite often. During my preparation, I read through the statement by Edward Carnell in his book, Christian Commitment. He writes that God never urges himself to be good. God never urges himself to be good. And that's because God is good. His nature always inclines irresistibly towards righteousness. God is never torn or drawn by evil motives. No one needs to say, "Hey God, now today, you better be good. You better obey those Ten Commandments and not be drawn or tempted at all." No one has to say that because God is good. And we have thousands upon thousands of stories, even to this day, testimonies of God's goodness. And ever since the beginning of creation, when He made us, He has always tried to nudge us and encourage us to be as good as He is. For those of us who can remember, right from the beginning, when He chose the Israelite nation, He chose them to be an example for the others of His goodness. And He nudged them all along the way, even though He knew all too well of our frailty. He knows that we struggle to spontaneously and naturally love others and serve them with gentleness and kindness. He knows that we struggle to turn the other cheek. He knows that we struggle to return good for evil. He knows that we struggle to love Him and love others. And so from the beginning with Israel, He tried to encourage them and nudge them with lists upon lists, 613 laws, plus minus, of nudging, gently nudging, going, I want you to be good. I want you to set the example for nations to follow. But when you and I read through all those stories, all those lists of virtues and vices, we discover a great danger of giving morally deprived people to-do lists. The great danger is that we take those very lists that are supposed to regenerate us and encourage us to goodness, we take those very lists and we actually turn them into sin. Let me give you an example of this. At the very core of our beings, we are proud and self-sufficient people. What we would do very often, if someone gives us a list, is we would go and take those things on that list. We will train ourselves up, we will drill ourselves, and we will really work extremely hard to get those things right. So that one day, we've got a report card. We can rock up to the gates of heaven and go, hey, God, 613 lists, I ticked every box, where's my room? Because at the very core of our nature, that's who we are. We want to tick a box and go, hey, I've achieved this, where's my naughty badge? I'm coming through the gates. And what Paul is trying to do here for the church in Galatia, for us today, is counter that false teaching. Counter that legalism. Counter salvation by works, because it doesn't work. If we read throughout the Old Testament, how many people got through the gates of heaven? Out of millions, maybe a handful that could say, hey, I ticked every box, and God says, come. Remember Enoch? He walked with God. Hey, couple of examples of guys getting it right. It doesn't work. And in this church in Galatia, they have received the gospel of salvation by faith in Christ. And some person decided to go to them and say, hey, but no, we've got to get you all you guys circumcised again. We've got to go back to those lists because this grace thing is a bit too fluffy. Hey? And Paul's trying to fix that and address that and go, no, are you cooked? Why on earth do you want to go back to 613 laws if all you need to do is stand firm in the faith in Jesus Christ and what He has done for you? Don't worry about the lists. That's what he's trying to get at. So when you open up your Bibles, verse 1, he says, Christ has set you free from what? From the list, from the yoke of slavery. He has set you free so that you and I don't have to worry about that list. All we have to worry about is believing in Jesus Christ. What He has done for us has put us right with God and gets us into heaven. That's what we've got to hold on to. And that's what he's trying to challenge the guys. He says, stand firm in your faith in Christ. Because it's so easy for us to fall back on the to-do lists. It's so easy for the devil to come with that sweet in the beginning of the journey and go, stop walking, man. Just tick this box and you'll be fine. And then, you know, poor kids. They were losing battle of notes. If Janina had ice cream here, honey, seriously, ice cream, yeah. No? But some of us completely understand that. Because the devil often wants to come and tempt us and nudge us and go, hey, but you're not being a good Christian boy or girl. How many of you were taught that when you were younger? That God's watching you and you better be right and wrong. Hey, Ben, anybody else? Come on, all of us were taught that, hey? Your parents blackmailed you with that all the time. Blackmailed me, hey? God's watching you. Hey? Hey? That's utter nonsense and rubbish. Yes, God is watching what you're doing, but what you're doing will have no impact, zero, whether you can get into heaven or not. Only Jesus can get you into heaven. Only Jesus. So we can tick all 613 boxes and still go stand at the front gates of heaven and God goes, who are you? Hey, Jesus, do you know this guy? Hey? Only your faith in Christ will get you through that gate. Paul's trying to address, and it's so easy for us to go salvation by works. Paul is trying to say, no, salvation by faith in Christ alone and out of gratitude for that gift that you've received. Now have a look at that list later on in the chapter. That's the lens he's trying to help us to read the rest of this chapter with. Stand firm in your faith in Christ and now go walk in the Spirit. Stand firm in your faith in Christ and now go walk in the Spirit. So when you read verse 13, serve one another in love, that's not to get you into heaven. Serve one another in love out of gratitude because you are in heaven when you believe in Christ and what he has done for you. Love your neighbor as you love yourself, not once again to get in. You are out of gratitude, love them. Out of gratitude, don't bite and devour each other, verse 15. And the list then continues with some of the bad stuff that we're supposed to avoid and the good stuff that we're supposed to do. But if you don't do those things for the right reasons, Paul says it's of no use to you at all. So this morning, we need to hear that. When we go through the list of the fruits of the Spirit, we do that out of gratitude, not to earn our salvation. But God knows, and that's why it's in the text this morning. He knows that from verse 16 onwards, it says that those who walk by the Spirit will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit contrary to the flesh. God knows that in our beings right now, as you're sitting here this morning, there's this constant battle, the war taking place inside of you going, what's for lunch today? Hey? Or, I really want to go punch my neighbor because he kept me up last night. Hey? That war is going on, and maybe not right now. Maybe you're going, Jan, we're chilled. We're in church. We're thinking good thoughts. It's all good. But how about tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock in peak hour traffic? When that guy cuts you off, or that lady stops when she's not supposed to stop, you know? How do we then respond in that moment? Because then the war is happening. Then the flesh is going, I'm going to get out of there, take my wheel spanner, and I'm going to fling it at that driver. Hey? And the Spirit is like, patience, peace, and self-control. Hey? And there's a constant battle going on. God knows that. He knows that our flesh often desires immoral ways and filthy thoughts. He knows that we tend to worship idols more than God. He knows that we try and make up our own plans, you know, witchcraft, make up our own plans instead of asking God for guidance in a particular situation. He knows that at times we really enjoy hating people, especially when they steal our money and build fancy homes. Hey? He knows in those moments we go, but it's righteous anger and hatred. They shouldn't be doing that. But in that moment, once again, the Spirit and the flesh are bashing against each other. Because the Spirit says love, and Jan says, I want to punch him. Hey? That battle is happening all the time. And if it's not just that internal battle, the evil one will do anything and everything to tempt you to do things of the flesh. Because it's his mission to kill, steal, and destroy your relationship with God. It's his mission to kill those fruits on your tree of the Spirit and make sure that it's fruits of the flesh hanging over there. That is his mission. And I know there are times, where we drop the ball completely. And for a brief moment in time, we live in the flesh holistically. Where people around us go, Christian? yone. We know that that happens. God knows that that happens at times. And it's very easy for the devil in those moments to take verse 21 and use it against you. Verse 21, it says, those who live like this, it's just listed all the bad things, immorality, all that kind of stuff. Those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. The devil loves to whisper those little doubts into our ears, where we even start doubting our salvation. But the devil goes, hey, you're such a bad Christian. You bring absolute shame to Christ and what he's done for you. Look at what you've done. Those who live like that, they won't inherit the kingdom of God. Friends, in those moments, go back to that verse. When the devil does that, and go and tell him and be direct with him, and says, it says, those who live like this won't inherit the kingdom of God. I don't live like this. I just made one silly mistake. It was a brief moment in time. So living like this, devil, go fly a kite. There was a brief moment of failure. And guess what? My salvation, my inheritance in the kingdom of God is not dependent upon what I do. It's dependent on what Christ did. So you know what? I'm just going to do what 1 John 1 verse 9 says. And confess my sins to God, because he is faithful and just. He will forgive me of this sin, and he will purify me and declare me righteous once again. Oh, devil, where'd you go? I thought we were chatting. Hey? And off he goes to another Christian who for a brief moment in time made another mistake, and he goes and he tells them the same lie. Because he knows that the moment you and I believe that lie, that we've got to work our way back into heaven, he's won the battle. Because somewhere along the line, you're going to drop the ball. And you're going to tick 612 boxes, and sorry, you didn't do 613, go join him. That's what he wants you to believe. But Christ says, stand firm in your faith in me. I have declared you righteous. I have died for those sins. Confess them to me. I forgive them. I wash you clean. Let's go. Let's walk in the Spirit. Stand firm in your faith, friends. But that's not as easy as said. Eh? God knows that too. He knows that there will be times where the devil tells lies to you. You've got to stand firm in your faith and be reminded of that, that you will inherit the kingdom of God if you believe in Christ. But there are times where you struggle, and he knows that. So from verse 24, he says, how do we walk in the Spirit? Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh and its passions. Now, the contemporary English version makes it a lot easier for us to understand what that crucifying the flesh means. It reads this: we have killed our selfish desires and passions. Killed it. How do you do that? How do you kill something in your life? You stop feeding it. Hey? Now, if James needed to die, that's the easiest way for me to make that happen. Stop feeding him. Don't worry, I will not do that. I won't do that at all. But let's think about a plant. Hey? Stop watering the plant. You stop feeding it. It will die. Even a cactus. Take a bit longer, but it will die. How do you kill the desires of your flesh? You stop feeding it by watching TV shows that encourage immorality and impurity. You stop visiting Facebook and websites and have discussions online and in person that feed these things. Let's just read through them again. Because our TV shows at the moment are just filled with utter nonsense. Hey, all I can watch every single day is Paw Patrol or cooking shows. And even the cooking shows, do not watch Hell's Kitchen. Hey? You would think, well, it's Hell's Kitchen. You should not turn that on. It's a cooking show. Okay, F-bomb this, F-bomb that. I can't believe you just messed up the risotto. He doesn't say it like that. And then you go, I can't even watch that. Then you watch Family Food Fight, and then there's an F-bomb. I can't even watch that. Then it's MasterChef, and somebody throws their toys out the cot. Lack of self-control. I can't even watch that. Okay, it's Paw Patrol and Bob the Builder. Hey? Like, seriously, can we not just find something good on TV? You can't even watch the sport, because they also flick these days, you know? Let's just look at some of these things. and think about the TV shows we watch, the conversations we have, the websites, and the stuff we like to read. Immoral ways, filthy thoughts, shameful deeds, the worship of idols, the practice of witchcraft, hating others, the Kardashian thing, hey? God, yo, it's full of that. I just did a bit of online research and I was like, woo, okay, let's not. Unreasonable stubbornness, hey? Like, it's all over the stuff. There's nothing out there that's just good and pure. But if we want to stop feeding those desires and those thoughts, we've got to stop watching this junk and start filling ourselves with the Word of God, because that'll feed the Holy Spirit in us. Watch music that feeds the Holy Spirit in us. Have conversations with people around you. Read stuff that fills you up with more of the Holy Spirit stuff. Love, peace, patience, kindness, and goodness. Hey? Yeah. Come on. If we want to walk in the Spirit, we've got to make sure that we're feeding the Holy Spirit every single day and not the tree of the flesh. Because, friends, you and I have a responsibility to bear in this world. As Christians, we are meant to be producing those fruits, not to earn our salvation, but out of gratitude for our salvation. So those around us, when they walk past our trees, they go, I just need a bit of love in my life. Yes, because all I get from this world is hatred. A bit of kindness and self-control. And God knows that times we drop that ball holistically, where we are called to give honor to the gift of salvation that we have through Christ Jesus. And then you might be sitting here this morning going, Jan, I have faith in Christ and what He's done for me. I do feed myself with the Word of God and those conversations, but at times I do drop the ball. And I drop it badly. Cause damage to the name of Christ and shame to the gift of salvation that I've received. Friends, the good news is that we serve a God of grace, that He looks at us and goes, yes, I can see you're trying. I can see you're trying to feed the right tree in your life more and more and more. And yes, you dropped the ball at home the other day, or on the sports field, or at work. You've dropped the ball. But you know what? I forgive you, and I'm going to help you get it right next time. And it might require us to do a bit of fixing up, going to see those people that witnessed the sour grapes on our trees. Maybe we need to go to them and say, hey, I'm really sorry that the fruit that I produced in that moment hurt you, cause pain in your heart, cause pain in our relationship, and possibly put you off Christianity. I'm really sorry. Friends, in that moment, I believe you'll win that person's heart. Because they'll say, hey, these Christian oaks, yes, they try. Yes, they drop the ball. But when they drop the ball, they reconcile. They ask forgiveness. And that is what they actually preach. They preach forgiveness and reconciliation. And this oak and this lady has just lived it. Maybe there is something good about this God that they serve. That is our responsibility. But when we drop the ball, know this, that God is faithful and just. He will forgive you. He will purify you. He will equip you and help you get it right next time. But maybe you're sitting here this morning a bit beaten up about that moment where you've dropped the ball. Maybe you're struggling to forgive yourself or forgive the person who's hurt you. This morning, I want you to know that your faith is secure. Your salvation is absolutely secure. That thing that you did or that I did has no impact on your relationship with God eternally whatsoever. God challenges us, though, to come to Him and say, hey, God, I have brought shame to you. I've brought dishonor to what you've done and the gift that you've given to me. Please forgive me and give me the courage to go to that person and ask them to do the same. And as you go to that person, you tell them, friends, I can guarantee one thing and one thing only. God will be smiling at you, going, well done, good and faithful servant. I cannot guarantee that relationship is going to be reconciled and restored. I cannot guarantee that the forgiveness will be accepted and you guys are going to hug and it's all going to be great. Cannot guarantee that at all. But I can guarantee that God's going to look down upon you and go, that's my son, that's my daughter, revealing my goodness to this world. And so as we close this morning, I want us to make sure that we're right with God. That we can stand in front of the Lord one day and go, Lord, I know that my entrance into this place is secure. But hey, what about all this stuff? I want us to be sure that we can stand next to him and he goes, all that stuff was sorted, remember? You asked and I forgave. What are you talking about? Come here. I'll give you a bear hug. Let's go play golf, you know, in my case. Somebody else might do something completely different. But I want us to be right with God. And this is a wonderful psalm, Psalm 51. It's going to be displayed up on the screen for us. I'd like us to pray that out loud this morning. Remember last week we prayed the Lord's Prayer out loud, and I warned you, in future we're going to do stuff together out loud. Sorry, you only had 1 week's preparation, but it's fine. Even if you are absolutely okay with God and you think that, you know, I've done nothing on that list at all, please would you pray this prayer with us this morning and make sure that you are doubly right with him, hey? But as a sign of our unity and that together we're working out of gratitude what God has done for us, let us do that together. Don't worry about for the director of music and the Psalm of David. Let's just go verse 1. Where does it start? Have mercy on me. Hey? So we start from have mercy on me. 1, 2, 3. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me of all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desire faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I'll be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sin, and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, you who are God, my Savior, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and I will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, so I would bring it to you. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. May it please you to prosper Zion, to build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in the sacrifices of the righteous, in burnt offerings offered whole, then bulls will be offered on your altar. May that be your prayer this week, as you are reminded to stand firm in your faith, knowing that your salvation is completely secure, May you be challenged to walk in the Spirit all the time, knowing that the only way you and I can do that is if we spend more time feeding the Holy Spirit than feeding the flesh. And even when the evil one tells you that your kingdom inheritance isn't secure, you can tell him, hey, I live for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and my actions have no impact on my eternal life. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. That at times when it's so easy for us to fall back into legalism and salvation by works, that scriptures like these encourage us and remind us of your gift of salvation through faith in Christ Jesus alone. And that for those who believe in Christ, we live for you out of gratitude. We walk by the Spirit out of gratitude for what you have done for us. And so we ask, Lord, that you would encourage us, help us by the power of your Holy Spirit to this week rely more on your power and more of your strength, and feed ourselves and your Holy Spirit with the Word of God, conversations. Let us read books, visit websites that glorify your name. We ask for more power, more love, more of you in our lives. In Jesus' name.